today's mailbag comes to us from Marla. Wow, priceless. If you've already had your wow moment, I apologize. But if you are struggling or on the fence, I can say that so was I, and then bam, I got it. It wasn't immediate. I had heard about the Sunday basket from various sources for months, and finally I got one and joined the club, and it still was not exactly what I needed. And I live with a Sunday basket and slash pocket can't be mailed. But I made do and struggled. I admit, where would I put this or that? And then I found the feed. I think they are making changes so stuff is moving around. But if you go to the Sunday basket feed and scroll back as far as you need or want, it's all there. And you can pick what area you want to work on. It's a little slow, like be prepared to sit for an hour plus and have the feed video on your screen while you do your own work. And there is chatter among the club members about stuff you don't necessarily care about, but ignore them, like you would your kids or noises outside, and work away with the guidance they give you, and absolute nuggets of amazing advice and help will come along to you, and you will have your aha moments. And one of those a week is incredible, but you can watch the old feed and have one a day if you need to, or more. I also found that some of the video hosts speak to me more than others, but try a couple or all of them. And if it's not connecting for you, do not abandon ship. Just keep watching, reading the chats, and looking at and through your stuff. I found that more than paper for my Sunday basket, I had stuff. So I found a container, actually three, to collect my stuff in. Just like ideas and paperwork, but stuff. And it is collected all week until my Sunday basket review. Going through the to-dos in one sitting was truly a life-changing concept, and I'm so grateful to Organize 365. Be creative in how Sunday basket can work for you, or get some creative ideas from the club. You got this, and Organize 365 has your back, and that's priceless.
Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Okay, we've decided last week that you've already made the decision, you're going to get organized, and you're ready. Like, you're ready in that you've ordered your Sunday basket, you ordered the Productive Home Solution, you've jumped all in, like you've gotten the supplies. What it would look like to be ready if you were going to have a baby is actually getting the car seat in the car. Or if you were playing a sporting event, that you are in the position, the ready position. I want to talk in this podcast about my new thing I'm getting ready for, which is going to college, which I made the decision I'm going to get a PhD in order to be ready. I applied, I was accepted, I did the tuition, I've set my schedule, I purchased the books. Like, that is ready. What does it mean to be set? What is the difference between being ready and being set before next week we're going to go? I just have to tell you that I am the running joke of the visionary entrepreneur who has the quote, ready, fire, aim, or ready, go, set. You end up in a situation where you are already in the game and you're like, wait, was I fully ready? Did I get set? Because I'm already in the game. And this week is the most important podcast I want you to listen to, because it is understanding all the invisibleness and the hidden things about the difference between being ready and being ready to go. I have lived that quote, ready, fire, aim. At first in my 20s, it was because I didn't know what I was doing. At home, at work, as a parent, I learned the hard way every single time. Maybe you did the same. But then later in my 30s, it also still wasn't my fault, because there wasn't enough time to prepare for aiming or getting set. Life was moving so fast, I was missing the important things while running at Mach 1 speed. It's not my fault. It's not your fault. We rarely give ourselves the time to truly set our sights on what we want to do next so that we can go in the most organized manner. Let's be clear. The last time we had preparation time built into our calendars was in grade school, where our teachers carefully planned our assignments and workload so we had enough time to complete things. By high school, you could throw that right out the window. All of our extracurricular activities, part-time jobs, and sleep filled in all the cracks that we had, and then some. No one has enough time, and no one is going to give you any more. And that's the truth. Your work colleagues, parents, children, partners, neighbors, and friends, they all want our time. Some demand it, some plead for it, some expect it without question. And we give it gladly, lovingly, freely. Like, we don't mind giving it up. We'll get up earlier, we'll stay up later, we'll eliminate our own hobbies and rearrange our days. Eve Grodzki, the author of Fair Play, compares our time this way. She says, "Men's time is worth diamonds, and women's time is like sand." Ouch. You cannot unhear that. But it's true for me. I mean, Greg has had a golf night. He goes on fishing and golf trips. And I don't have a hobby night. And I don't go on trips with friends since having children 22 years ago. After work, Greg makes dinner and then watches TV. And now I do the dishes. Sometimes I take a bath and I do a puzzle, but I feel super weird about it. Like, I feel like even though we're technically empty nesters, I should be doing more. I should be checking more things off of the to-do list. I should go back into my Sunday basket and pull out some of these projects that are for some day and do them today. Until a few years ago, my after-work activities involved driving the kids, cleaning the kitchen, doing the laundry, straightening up, etc., until I felt I was at an acceptable time for me to stop quote-unquote working and go take my bath. When are we going to give ourselves the permission to take back some of our time to do something other than housework? Or what everyone else in our family and in our lives needs of us? When are we going to take back a little bit of our time for what we want to do? You're ready. We already established that in the last podcast. Many of you made the decision to be organized and you've been ready for years. Like, you have the original Sunday basket still in the packaging. You bought the Productive Home Solution when it was called All Access or the 100 Days long, long, long ago, and you've never logged into the dashboard. Or you did 21 days and you've never done any more. I just want to let you know, this is why it's a lifetime purchase. Buy with confidence. Whenever you buy in, you will stay in the program. It's still there for you. The dashboard is still there. Your credentials can be re-upped. Like, we are here for you. You made a decision. You were ready. You made the purchase. We're set. Like, set is all about buying is the easiest part, you guys. Making the decision you're going to do something and making the purchase is the easiest part, aka why your house is ballooning with stuff. Purchasing is not an American problem. Getting the items in your house, not a problem. Following through on your intention of why you decided to buy something, that's the issue. Now, some people don't make the purchase until they're actually ready to start doing the activity. God love you. I am not you. I'm like, bye, 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 bye. And then things show up at the door. I'm like, what did I buy? Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot I was going to do that thing. Like, I mean, I'm terrible. I'm so bad that now I made this rule for myself a while ago. It's called the 24-hour rule. I have a whole podcast about it. Yeah, I created it in 2012. Like, when I was looking at the mountain of consumerism that I say to Greg, he's like, why are you shopping on Amazon? I'm like, you do realize that the American economy is based on me shopping. I was like, if I don't shop every day, like, the whole economy is going to go down, buddy. I'm a really good consumer. I'm really good at being excited about things, buying things. And a lot of times by the time they even get to the house, I'm like, maybe. And then I never do anything with it. So the 24-hour rule. 24-hour rule came from this realization in 2012. After I'd made the decision to get organized, quit my job, I was ready, and now I was actually in the thick of it. And let me just be clear. Once you start getting organized, you're going to be like, why did I sign up for this? And who did I tell I was doing this to? And can I still get out of this? Like, totally normal to feel that way pretty much every time you go into an organizing session. That's not a sign to you to stop. That is a sign that you are becoming a new organized person. So forge ahead. You're doing it correctly. I looked around. There were so many projects in my house. Projects that were almost done, halfway done, just started, not even started, like at least 24 projects, if not more. Books, yeah. Lots of books, hundreds of books. I love books. I do read almost every book that I purchase, but I got to the point where I had like maybe 30 books that I had bought and I no longer had a desire to purchase it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I got rid of them. I got rid of them because looking at them was just reminding me of a goal I once had and an impulse purchase that I made that I was not going to follow through on. And so I got rid of the guilt. Like I literally you can physically get rid of guilt. That's what decluttering is. It's like a physical getting rid of past bad choices. Do it. Like just get rid of it. You're not going to go, seriously, if you don't want to read the book, if you don't want to do the project, like making yourself do the project or read the book just because you paid for it, no, it's not a thing. Just get rid of it and then replace that bad habit with a better habit. So my better habit is now the 24-hour rule. And the 24-hour rule is if I'm excited enough to make a purchase, I also have to have on my calendar the time in the next 24 hours to start whatever that project or book is. I'm literally not allowed to buy an Audible book, and I have an Audible membership, so I have credits. I'm not allowed to use a credit until I'm ready to press play on the book and start listening to it. If I'm not ready to start listening, don't even press play, because you could buy it instantly, so there's no incentive to buy them ahead of time if you're not going to read them. I would say now 8 out of 10 books that I download on Audible, I do listen to. It's so weird that I could still literally... I'm so stubborn. I can download a book on Audible and then go, yeah, I'm not going to listen to it right now. Even though the rule was that and I decided I was going to listen to it, I'll go to a podcast or something different. Or sometimes I'll download a second book right away and start listening to the second one. If you also do that, I have now realized you can return books to Audible. Didn't know that was a thing, but you actually can do it. So I've done that a couple of times. I'm also a terrible returner. I just feel guilty returning things, so I like never do. I don't know what that is about me. Same thing with a project though. If I'm going to refinish the kitchen table or make something for Grayson or whatever, like I can have that idea all I want in my Sunday basket, but I'm not allowed to purchase supplies to do that project until I know that that weekend I'm actually going to do that project. Otherwise, the most fun part is the purchasing. So I'll purchase the products and then they'll sit in my laundry room because that's where I store things that are like too big to be in a Sunday basket for like 6 months. And then I'm just staring at them and then all the fun is gone. And then I do that project out of guilt. So making the decision you want to be an organized person and being ready, getting the nursery ready, buying the organized 365 products, like that actually is the easiest part. The set is the hardest part because when we are set, once we decide we're going to do the project or get organized or whatever it is, every single thing that we've made the decision for that we are ready for is going to take time. It's going to take time. Time to read the book, time to do the project, time to do all the lessons inside of the Productive Home Solution, time. When are we going to give ourselves the permission to take back a little bit of our time? Guilt-free. When are we going to do that? I'm the worst offender. I think I have this podcast just so I can verbally process when I'm going to take back more of my time so that you guys that message me and go, Lisa, it's actually normal. So last semester, the reason I was taking back my time was so I could start traveling for myself personally as a CEO and not feel guilty about it. There were people, some of you emailed me, thank you, and you said, Lisa, it is completely normal for women to travel. This is not an unusual thing. But in my head, it is. In my head, it is. So for you, you may say like, okay, you're adorable, Lisa, because you're like the 20-year-old version of me, and I am so much further evolved than you in the business world. And I'm like, yes, you are. And please tell me how you did that, because I need to know how to do that. Because my brain is so locked into being at home and being responsible for the home. It is a limiting belief that I am constantly breaking through, and not a limiting belief in that I should be out of the home and I shouldn't have to be at home. I love being at home. I love it. But also, I'm 50 and I love growing Organized 365 too. And I wouldn't do this to my spouse or my kids or any of my employees. Like, when an employee tells me that they have an opportunity to go on a trip or do a thing, I'm like, okay, how can I bum myself into a pretzel so that you can do that? When my kids say, oh, I want to go do this thing, like, we find the money, we find the time, we reorganize everything around what our kids want to do. But then when it comes to us, we're like, okay, so I want to do this big thing and I'm ready. I've already bought it. But then I want to figure out how to fit it into 5 minutes a day between 5 a.m. and 5:05. And then also, if I shave five minutes off my lunch, I could do another 5 minutes from 12 to 12:05. And then if I don't go to bed when I'm really tired, I could maybe add in another 30 minutes. Like, maybe it's just me. But I don't think it's just me. And I think it's because we feel that, I don't know, where are we going to find this time? That is what we're really wrestling with here in SET. You made a decision, you want to do this thing, but where is the time going to come from? So I'm going to give you two scenarios of where I've had to find 25 hours a week. The first one, I had zero say in whatsoever. So in February of 2021, I found out that my daughter was going to have a baby. Super exciting. I love little babies. Also, unexpected. And at that time, I would say I was probably working 55 to 60 hours a week in Organized 365. And during Abby's pregnancy, I was at almost every single doctor's appointment. This is when we moved the book tour up to the beginning of the summer of 2021. It was supposed to be in the fall so that we could do the book tour before the baby came. And Grayson came a month early. So he came at the end of August. He was supposed to come at the end of September. And I spent the last 4 months of 2021 really straddling being a CEO and a business owner and being a mom of Abby and being a grandma of Grayson. And I remember at one point, Abby went to a doctor's appointment without me with the baby. And apparently she said to the doctor, you know, Grayson cries for my mom and Grayson likes to have my mom and I'm the mom and he should like me. And the doctor said, of course he does. Your mom's the dad. And Abby was like, oh. And I was like, oh, right, right. So I have, Grayson's only a year old. This is my grandson. At the time of this recording, he's like 16 months. And this is something I wanted to do. I wanted to be a grandma since I've wanted to be a mom. Like, I love babies. I love families. I love everything. When Abby said she was pregnant, I wanted to be a supportive mom. I wanted to be there at every doctor's appointment. I wanted to be there at the birth if she wanted me there at the birth. I wanted to help her in the middle of the night with the baby if she wanted me to help. I want to get home at the end of the day and play with Grayson and give her an hour to herself, or just, you know, an hour and a half where Greg and Abby and Grayson and Abby and I are all hanging out and Abby's hanging out and I'm responsible for the baby. Like, if I walk in the door, I know that Abby's on her phone or whatever, because I mean, she's a single parent. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of responsibility. I want to be there when he's sick and cuddle him in the middle of the night. I want to get COVID from him. I want to do these things. And we were ready for Grayson to come. We had the car seat. We had everything all ready to go. The set part was finding the time. And I really struggled with wanting to be a very present grandmother and support to Abby as a single mother, and wanting to still have time for Greg and I as the never-existing empty nesting phase. And I wanted to still be a really active CEO and eventually traveling CEO. So When Grayson turned one, I started traveling again more. And I did travel a little bit when he was before he was one, but not much. And I have these thoughts in my head, these different roles that I play. And I think to myself, but Lisa, you're the grandmother. You're not the parent. Yeah, but I'm kind of playing the role of parent sometimes. But Lisa, you are a CEO. You should be able to do these things. Yes, but, and you're balancing all of these things. And when I look really back on it, I spend about 25 to 35 hours a week with Grayson, which is a significant amount of time. It's a lot of time. And the reason I know that it's 25 hours is because right now I've made the decision that I'm going to go back to college remotely. But the time requirement to get a PhD is somewhere between 25 and 32 hours a week. And I've been really struggling with this. Like, I made the decision, I'm going back, I'm ready, I've paid the tuition, but I'm in this set period between when I made the decision and made the tuition payment before I'm actually starting the classes the second week in January. And in this set period, it's a really unsettling time because you know what you signed up for, but you're not in it yet. So all you do is worry about it and think about it and give yourself migraines over it and wonder, am I really able to do this? Like, I wondered, am I really going to be able to be a working grandmother and support to Abby and have a grandson? And I was. Am I really going to be able to go back to school basically full time and be a CEO and be a present grandmother and be the wife that I want to be? Now we've added a fourth ball to this juggle that I'm doing. It's a lot. Where am I going to find this time? It's not like 2 hours of time. It's 25 to 32 hours a week. And I know it's probably a pretty accurate representation of how many hours it is, even if I can be really productive with my time. Maybe I get it down to 24 or 23 hours. I don't get it down to five. And so I've been really thinking about how can I be set for this next thing that I'm doing. So some of the things that I've been proactively doing that you also can be proactively doing as you're getting ready and set to give yourself, 5 hours a week, 5 to 10 hours a week is a perfect amount of time to give yourself to really undertake getting your life organized and doing that for a year or two. 5 to 10 hours a week is a really solid amount of time. Five is on the low end. 10 is significant. I mean, you would be surprised what you can do with 10 hours a week. So in preparing for this PhD, number one, everything that I have done is to reduce the amount of decisions that I make. If you want to find extra time in your life and you're not doing the Sunday basket yet, doing the Sunday basket will save you at least 5 hours every single week in your mental capacity of making decisions because you're going to do all of those on Sunday. You're going to make most of the decisions on Sunday. So some of the things in addition to the Sunday basket I've done is I've figured out the foods that work best for my body, how I can buy those in bulk, and what my Monday through Friday meal plan is going to be. Basically, I'm going to be a grade schooler, and I'm just going to have my breakfast, lunch, snack, and dinner already like on a menu. I'm just going to buy it all, and I'm just going to eat it. Heat it up and eat it, heat it up and eat it, and not think about it. Doesn't matter what day it is or what I feel like, this is what I'm going to eat. This is the food that is going to fuel me, right amount of calories, et cetera, even the snacks. All purchased in advance, so I don't even have to worry about it. The second thing that I've really been thinking about is my sleep. And I remember when I was preparing for Grayson, also very concerned about the sleep. So one of the not great things about this PhD program, for me specifically, is the school is located in California, and all of the classes are in the evening. But they're in the evening California time, which means they start 5 or 6 on the West Coast, which means they start at 8 or 9 on the East Coast. I've been going to bed at 9 o'clock every night for months. I don't know why I've been going to bed so early. I'm like, oh my gosh, these classes are going to start when I go to bed. This is not going to be good for me. So I've been thinking about this. I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can wake up early. So I tried that for a while. My body is just needing a lot of sleep right now. And finally, I got the idea the other day, well, Lisa, you could just start taking a nap. And I was like, but when I get home from work, I play with Grayson until he goes to bed, like between 6 and 7. well, I'm not going to take a nap at 7 and then wake up at 9. Like, if I'm going to take a nap, it needs to be at 2 or 3. I'm still at work at 2 or 3. Like, when am I going to take this nap? So now I'm trying to figure out, when can I take a rest at 3 o'clock? I'm even thinking about putting, like, a cot at the office and doing it at the office, because I know everybody at the office would be totally fine with it. The whole team is totally on board with this PhD, like, whatever it takes in order to find the time for the PhD. But really, the best thing would be to come in, get a quick nap at home, spend my time with Grayson, spend time with Greg, and then do the PhD. And so figuring out that I could not find the time at night, I might find it in a nap time. The other thing is, I get up at 6:30 now, naturally, but maybe I'll get up at 7:30 instead and go into the office at 8:30 instead of 7:30 in the morning. That's another place where I can grab some time. You should think about this. Do you need to change your sleep schedule? Can you change your sleep schedule? How can you still get the same amount of sleep and yet do this new thing that you want to do? The third thing that I thought about was my health and my doctor's appointments. So there are a lot of doctor's appointments you go to every year. The dentist twice a year, mammogram once a year, well check once a year. I have a hormone doctor that I go to. I'm 50, so I'm supposed to get a colonoscopy. So once I signed on the dotted line that I was going to get this PhD, I booked all the appointments. The colonoscopy was the funniest. So I called to schedule the colonoscopy, as you don't need a referral in the United States. If you're 50, you can get one. So I called and I said, I wanted to schedule. She goes, okay, so which doctor do you want? Which location? I said, well, I want this location and I want this date. And she said, so you're telling me where and when you want to have it? You don't care who does it? And I was like, as she was asking that question, I was like, I sound like an idiot. Like, who makes decisions on a healthcare thing based on the time and location and not the actual doctor doing the procedure? I was like, yeah. She said, okay, well, we have a doctor that can do it then. She goes, oh, you actually got a good doctor. And I was like, are you telling me there are bad doctors that are going to do this colonoscopy? Because now I'm worried about this. Like, you should not be talking to me this way. But I scheduled it and I was like, yeah, okay, Lisa, maybe sometimes when you schedule based on time, maybe that's not the best way to make your medical decisions. But I'm moving on with my life. I'm very healthy. I'm just doing this as a routine precaution because you're supposed to do it at 50. And also, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I put these things off that you're supposed to do 50 to 51, 52. Well, heck no. If I need 25 hours a week for the next 5 years to go to college, we're doing the colonoscopy before I go to college. Like, anything like this that's going to take time and recovery. And no, it's happening before January 9th of 2023. That is my rule. So that's how I scheduled my colonoscopy. Hey, you should just be happy that I'm having one. I also looked at the supplements I was taking and I was looking at, like, okay, well, based on all the blood work that came back from my doctor, which is still totally normal, do I want to make any changes in any of my supplements? So I've added two more supplements. I take a lot of supplements. I've added two more supplements and I've already integrated one. I'm getting ready to integrate the other one just to make sure that they all work with all the other supplements I'm taking. So I took a really good look at my health, like, had a full workup, had them run the blood test. I said I had them run extra tests. Like, I wanted to know what my vitamin D level was because that's one they don't always run. I did the mammogram. I'm meeting with all of the doctors to find out where my baseline health is just to make sure I'm in optimal health before I start this big new thing. And then number four, totally superficial, but you know that we spend way too much time on this. I looked at my clothing and I looked at my hair. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you guys, this is where we lose so much of our time. And I was like, okay, this is going to be the thing. These are the clothes that I wear with Grayson. These are the clothes that I wear on a day I'm in the office. And these are the clothes I'm going to wear on a day where I'm just doing a PhD work. And then I thought about my hair. So when my hair was short, I had to wash it every single day. But now that it's longer, I can go every other day. And actually, my hair is fine if I just wash it 2 or 3 times a week. So I'm actually literally setting up a schedule for when I will wash my hair, when it will be in a ponytail, when it will be curled like you see it on Instagram, like the whole thing. When I got my hair cut last time, I had her show me how to put my hair in a bun. I said, okay, I want to see what it looks like in a bun because the ponytail to me is a little juvenile. So then she showed me a way to make a more adult ponytail. and she showed me a bun. It looked terrible. You're never going to see it. It was a non-starter. But this is how far I go in getting set. These are the things that, you know, if you really want to do something, like getting a PhD is no joke. It's 4 years of my life. Like, how set can I be? I'm ready. I paid the tuition. I've been accepted. I have the books. I'm going to go. I'm going to start on January 9th. Set is completely optional. It is the most important and it is the most overlooked step in anything that you're going to do. Not can you afford it or did you get accepted, but are you ready? Like, are you really ready? Like, what are you doing to get set? How are you organizing your time, your energy, your emotions, all of your time? And so I've been playing around with these 25 hours because, you know, because of Laura Vanderkam's book, 167 or 87, whatever, 172 hours, 67. I don't know. You have more time than you think. 168 hours. You have more time than you think. However many hours in a week, you have more time than you think. And Laura says that 8 a.m. Monday to 8 p.m. on Thursday is the same amount of time as 8 p.m. Thursday to 8 a.m. on Monday. And I'm like, okay, I've got five chunks of time that I want to fit into this week. Sleep is a huge priority for me. Little side note, and I was wondering how you guys are feeling about this. I sleep so much more now than I ever did before the pandemic. So 2019, I did not sleep as much as I do from 2020 on. Originally, I thought it was just because it was a pandemic and we were all exhausted. Then I started to get back like a normal sleep routine, and now I'm sleeping so much more again. I wonder if it's that we were so sleep deprived that we didn't sleep the right. I don't know. I have no reason why, but I need a lot of sleep, apparently. I need, you know, it averages out to 7.5 hours of actual sleep, but I'm in bed, you know, like 8.5 to 9 hours in order to get that 7.5, because you aren't always asleep, according to my Aura ring. So 8 or 9 hours a night, I need to be in bed, and or we need to add in these naps in order for me to feel fully rested. Now, also, I only drink one coffee now, and I used to drink like 3 or 4. So it could be that I'm just not caffeinating as much, which I'm happy with as well. So I definitely need sleep. Second, I definitely need work time. Now, getting a PhD is part of my job, and so I will be taking 8 to 10 hours a week away from work time in order to get this PhD done. It's totally fine. It's all been planned in. Everybody on the team knows about it. So Thursday, I will not be working. I will be at home or I will be in the office, but I will be doing only PhD work, and that's where I'll get 8 to 10 hours. I also will probably need to pull another 2 hours on Wednesday and 2 hours on Friday or something of that effect. So that time will come from work, but the rest of the work time, I cannot cut back any more on the work time that I already do. The third bucket of time is time with Abby and Grayson and Greg after work. I do not want to cut out that time. I don't think it would be good for any of us, and it's just not the person I want to be. So the time after work, like 4:30 to 6:30, that's non-negotiable. Those 10, 12 hours, Monday through Friday, definitely need to be on the calendar. And then also on Saturday and Sunday, I usually take a block of 5 hours and I go into the office. That's where I am right now recording these podcasts for you. Recording podcasts, I might be using that for PhD, I don't know. But having a, you know, 5-6 hour chunk of time on the weekend where I do work or PhD work, yes. But the rest of the weekend really needs to be for Greg, Abby, and Grayson and my family responsibilities, doing my Sunday basket. I need enough time at home to actually get housework done. Also on my calendar, I definitely need that bath each night, like that 1 hour to take a bath and watch a show or watch Instagram or listen to a podcast or, you know, whatever I want to do. Like that 1 hour every night is important to me, and for most nights will be included in there. And then an hour or two a night, at least 5 nights a week, in order to connect with Greg, watch a show, watch a movie, that time needs to get in there as well. Now, with all of that time in there, my PhD work will probably be from 8 or 9 o'clock at night until 10 or 11 at night, all day Thursday, and then sometime on Friday and Wednesday. I am now to the point where there is no more wiggle room in this calendar, which is fine. I am meeting and exceeding all of my goals in home, in work, in college, and in being a grandmother. and I have a little bit of time for myself. Now, I'm still going to be, as a CEO, I'm still going to be traveling quite a bit. I'm still going to be doing quite a bit of networking and working on different strategic partnerships. So it should be interesting how this is all going to play out when I actually do hit go the second week in January. But for right now, for the variables that I know, I have spent a lot of time, I would say at least 50 hours, planning out how this is going to work. And you may say, wow, I mean, I didn't even know you could think this much about your schedule, right? Right? I'm really good at this, right? It's a big decision. Like going back to college for 4 years, there were a couple weeks in there where I was trying to mentally figure this out until I realized I could take naps again. I was like, this is not going to work. We're going to get to March and this is going to be a crash and burn situation in every area of my life. You know, I said a couple of podcasts ago, we talked about passive organizing and how you do passive organizing before you commit, before you make the decision. Totally normal. I think that the more productive you are, the more purposeful you are, the more committed you are to the outcomes of adding more to your life, the more you need to do this set activity. This really is like planning day. It's like planning day for adding this in. Planning day is essential because it takes into effect all of these different areas that I'm talking about and makes a plan for the next 120 days. But what I've done over the last 6 weeks after deciding to actually go to college, in thinking about all of these roles that I'm playing, I've realized that there is no more capacity. We are all limited in the amount of hours that we have in a week. We all have that same limitation on us, but how we order those hours. I could not have done this when I was a stay-at-home mom. There was too much responsibility on me at home. But I'm a bonus parent to Abby. And so there are times when I am traveling or I'm going to have to say, you know, no, I can't help with Grayson tonight. And I have been trying that out. That's the other thing about set. There have been a couple of weeks where I'm like, I'm going to work late 2 nights in a row just to see what happens at home when I come home on the third night. How's Grayson? How's Abby? How's Greg? How does the house look? What happened? Like, I'm literally running little trial experiments over here and nobody knows it. Doing the same in the office. I'm playing around with my sleep while I don't have the responsibility of school yet. What if I go to bed earlier? What if I go to bed later? What if I get up earlier? What if I do this? How do all of these things impact everything else in my life? The more time and capacity you have, the more organized you are, the more capable you are of taking on and expanding what you're able to do, the more important it is that you think about how all of this is going to impact all of the other things that you've already committed to. I don't know how many people think this way. I've never heard anybody talk about this process of going from a decision and deciding you're going to do it. Like, what happens after you purchase and before you get started? That's what I call set. And I encourage you right now, if you're listening in real time, you're probably going to get started on your decluttering at the end of the year. But you're really going to get going on your organizing in January, so in a couple of weeks. Think about this as you're going to bed, as you get up, as you're taking a shower. Like, how is this new habit you have of organizing, this new energy you have, this purposefulness of learning this skill of organizing, where does that most logically fit into your calendar? And what do you have to sacrifice or change in order for that to fit there? This is why I always tell you to start with the Sunday basket, because I know that the Sunday basket is going to save you time and reduce your mental stress and anxiety. So once the Sunday basket works, and it always works, then you realize, oh, I am a person who can get organized. I'm a person who can learn to defer decisions to the weekend. I'm a person that can learn the skill of organizing. Then you double down on finding more time and capacity in order to be organized. You will notice when I went through how I'm going to spend my time that there are a lot of things that you do that I don't do. I don't go to the grocery store. Greg does that. Also, I only eat like 14 foods. So every week Greg says, I'm going to the grocery store. What do you need? It's like bottled water and milk because I need the milk for my coffee. Because I order everything I need, I do actually order my own food, but I order them at a local store and I just do a pickup, or now I just do the delivery. And I do order almost everything on Amazon because I started doing this a long time ago. I don't have time to go to stores. I don't go to stores. Everything I get, I order online. Everything. I can't even think of the last time I was in a store. I just don't go to stores. So I don't do shopping. I don't do errands. Greg takes everything to the dry cleaner. I do the laundry, the dishes, all of that. And that's that household time I said that I need on Saturday and Sunday. Pretty much it's all done on Saturday and Sunday. Because after work, when I come home and play with Grayson, he does not want me to do dishes. Like, he's asking to be held. He wants to play with grandma, like grandma plays, and he wants to play with grandma. And that's what I do. I am on the floor with Grayson that entire time. Sometimes in the morning before I go to work, I'll do the dishes or empty the dishwasher, maybe once a week, but not very often. I do have somebody that cleans our house. If I didn't have that, I would put that on my Saturday, Sunday, and then I probably would not be able to work that 5 to 6 hours in the office because I just wouldn't have that time. I don't care for children other than, you know, when Abby asked me to. A couple nights a week we'll watch Grayson, but mostly that just means we have the monitor. So he goes to bed early because he's a baby. So there are some things like I'm not cooking dinner. Greg's cooking dinner. And really, to be honest, I'm not eating dinner. So I, you know, there's the intermittent fasting where you don't eat until lunch and you eat dinner. I am not doing intermittent fasting, but I kind of am because I wake up and I eat breakfast and I have a snack and I have lunch and I have a snack and I don't eat dinner. I'm not usually hungry for dinner. That may change when I'm doing a PhD and I'm staying up until 10 or 11 at night, and I'm fine with that. I might need more protein or a snack like around 8, and I'll figure that out as I go through that. So you can't really compare your schedule to somebody else's schedule. And if I was still, you know, living the life I had 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it would be different. I'm 50. Like, I could never have this schedule when I was 25, 30, 35, or 40, or even 45. It's because I'm out of the active parenting years that I have so much time to be able to orchestrate what my life is going to look like. And I have been working in Organize 365 for 11 years now. And my goal was always to create a company and a job that I could do things like this in. And I was able to do it. Thank the good Lord. And so that's amazing. And you can too. Whatever is most important to you and you really want to do and is your unique gifting and calling, it is not going to become a reality, or it's not going to be manifested until you struggle through your current schedule, your current roles and responsibilities, decide what you want to keep, what you don't want to keep, and what you will give up in order for this future that you want. I'm only on Instagram, and I'm only on Instagram maybe 20 or 40 minutes a day. So I'm not on any other social media other than our app. I don't watch TV unless I'm watching TV with Greg, and on an occasion, like I like Grey's Anatomy. So on a Saturday afternoon, like around 4 o'clock, I'll turn on TV and I'll do a puzzle on the bed every once in a while. And I am purposely putting puzzle time still on my calendar, even with the PhD. It might not make it. I thought for sure it wasn't going to make it when we had Grayson, but I still do puzzles all the time. So I will not be doing puzzles Monday through Thursday. But I do think Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there will be at least one puzzle time in there, if not two, because it's kind of how I process my life too. I can't schedule my life to the point where there's no time to, you know, just let my brain wander and process my life. I am cutting out onion rings. I will probably not be getting onion rings. I haven't been getting onion rings lately. I really just don't have the time. It takes an hour. Greg's like, how does it take you an hour to get onion rings? I'm like, well, all of the Culver's are like 20 minutes away from our house, 15, 20 minutes away. And then at Culver's, you order and you have to pull around and wait for them to bring out your onion rings. And so, yeah, it takes like, I don't know, 50, 60 minutes. I usually budget an hour every time I want to get onion rings. I don't really have that time. And to be honest, I'm not really in love with onion rings anymore. It was a long fad. I think that fad is coming to an end. So I'll gain a couple of hours there. You can't create more time, but you can reorganize your time like jigsaw puzzle pieces with different roles and responsibilities. And that is what SET is all about. You can make the decision and you can make the purchase, but in order to get ready for GO, in order for GO to be successful, which is next week, You must figure out where your time is going and how you are purposely going to use your time to your advantage for your goals and for your future life.